In the interest of time, we're going to forego children's church this morning, and I'm just going to talk for just a few moments here. We are in the book of Galatians, and I'm going to cut a lot of what I was going to talk about Galatians today, but there's something very, very important from Galatians that we just cannot ignore or forego. Is that all right? My wrist, my wife said, if I catch you looking at another watch, anyway, a watch commercial came on TV, and then, anyway, what we need to know about Galatians that will help us in our journey as the 21st century church. When we get into chapter 3, Paul changes his discussion. He begins to talk about Abraham, and he brings up a very, very important word. He brings up the word promise. Promise is an important word in our society. It's an important word because we do a lot of things predicated upon promises. Politicians make promises so we might vote for them. Parents, we make promises to our kids. We need an hour of peace and quiet, so we promise our kid that favorite toy off the television or that favorite, you know, new CD. If you just give me an hour of quiet, I promise you I'll get you that. Or I promise you I'll take you to the park. Or I promise I'll take you to the water park. We'll go have some fun. Just give me quiet. We do a lot of things based on promises. It's important that we understand the importance of promises, because it was a promise made long ago to a guy by the name of Abram. His name is Abraham yet. But there was a promise made to a guy long ago by the name of Abram. God said to Abram, if you follow me, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will bless all your descendants through your seed. Now, Abram didn't have any children at the time, but he said, but through your seed, I will bless all the peoples of the earth. It was a promise that if you are a person who likes to read the Bible, if you're interested and you've studied and you've read the Bible, you know that the story of God is one who came through on his promises. In the book of Psalms, chapter 145, verse number 13, it talks about that, about God being one who keeps his promises. And his promises were kept. And this is why the book of Galatians was such a hard letter for Paul to write. Because he had to strike down some folks who didn't obviously believe in that promise that through Abraham's seed, all peoples of the earth would be blessed. That's a promise that we are all recipients of right now here today in the 21st century. We are recipients of the promise that God gave to Abram long ago, before Abram took a step. He had us in mind, church. I want you to believe that. I want to just turn your attention for just a couple seconds to the book of Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse number 26. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse number 26. It says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the what, church? Promise. I know I've told this story here before. Some of you weren't here, so I'll tell it again. In 1999, I visited a funeral. A friend of ours from college. I didn't actually know him that well. My wife knew him better. By the name of Lamar Black, was in a horrific car accident, and he lost his life. And I went to a funeral. You know, let me stop there. It's interesting that as we look for glimpses of what it means to be one in Christ Jesus, there are certain places that we actually get glimpses of what that looks like. Sadly, one of the most frequent places to see unity in Christ is at a funeral. I went to this funeral by the name of a guy by Lamar Black. And I was at the time an assistant minister at a church in Flint, Michigan. We were the mixed church. West Carpenter Road. We had black members. We had white members. We were the mixed church. Then you had several all white churches and you had one all black church. You had some very, very traditional churches. You had one really progressive church. It was a progressive church because they had a praise team and they had women that did stuff in their worship. They were the progressive church. I remember that the funeral was at the black church. It was a large building. And I remember driving up to this church building, and I remember that the parking lot was full. I remember that all the parking spots on the street were taken. I had to park 3-4 blocks away and walk to this church building. When I got to the building, there was a line that extended all the way outside of the building and wrapped around the building. This was the receiving line, you know, the line to go visit the casket. And I have to tell you that outside, I saw some black folk, I saw some white folk, I saw some Hispanic folk, I saw some old folk, I saw some young folk. And we were all waiting in this line, and I was just overwhelmed. I never experienced this in my life. This Lamar was about, I don't know, 25 years old. And I walked in, and this building was full, Debra. It was packed. Packed. And I also began to take note that I saw some folks that I knew that went to the progressive church and some that went to the traditional church and some that went to the black church and some that went to the all-white church and some that went to the mixed church. And we were all in there and we were crying. It's horrific. It was a tragedy. A young man lost his life. He's a very talented basketball player, very talented musician. And I remember that there were folks in there that used to go to the church I was currently at. They had left because they disagreed. You know, y'all ever had that happen to y'all? And I remember that there were people who had used to go to the same church that over some theological reason or some disagreement, they stopped going to church and hadn't talked in years. And I saw people go up to each other and look at each other as if to say, let's not even go there. And they hugged each other. And they wiped away each other's tears. I remember the service went. We were singing just some good old songs. The praise team from the progressive church got up and sang a song. And everyone was singing along and clapping along. And we had a good old time. In Christ. At a funeral. At a funeral. Church, I thought that's why we were here. Amen. I thought that's why we were here. And as we plunge through the letter of Galatians, don't miss this. The paramount thought, the paramount idea in the book of Galatians is this, that those of us who were baptized into Christ, we put on a brand new set of clothing. It's called Jesus Christ. And we are one. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew. Doesn't matter if you're a Greek. Doesn't matter if you're South American or North American. Doesn't matter if you're Middle Eastern or Chinese. Doesn't matter if you're slave or free. Doesn't matter if you're poor. You know, you're so poor you can't afford the O and the R. It doesn't matter if you're poor or rich. Doesn't even matter if you're male or female. You know, I don't have any special rights because I'm a male. You don't have a special right because you're a phenomenal female. We are one. And anything that we do to try to make distinction racially, culturally, socioeconomically, or sexually, we need to be careful. Because when we do that, we are preaching another gospel. And if we preach another gospel, we're just preaching noise. But we are one in Christ Jesus. And when we display that oneness, we are simply fulfilling a promise that God made to Abraham long ago. That's why the Abraham discussion is so important. And Paul talks about it, saying that just because the law came after the promise. The law didn't come to abolish that promise. The law came to help us because we're sinners. It didn't come to replace that promise. This is the promise that we're living. This is the promise that we need to flourish in. This is the promise that needs to guide the ministry of the church going forward. Let's not let funerals and weddings be the place where we display oneness in Christ Jesus. May it be here in worship service. May it be at the fellowship meal that we're going to have. May it be outside these walls. May we be ones that say we want to fulfill the promise of God by being one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the promise that you gave to Abraham and God as sons and daughters of promise. May we live as heirs to the blessing and the promise that you gave to Abraham so long ago. Father, forgive us when we have tried to make distinctions. Forgive us when we have tried to do things to exalt ourselves over someone else. Father, help us to understand that we are one on one level playing field. Father, I thank you that I am allowed to call myself a child of promise. Father, I thank you so much that I get to worship and serve with children of promise. And Father, I pray that we would live as children of promise and not slaves. May we not be enslaved by any bondage. For bondage kills, it chokes out, it takes the life out. Father, we are determined to live as free. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anything that we can do for you, pray for you, anything you want to share with the body, I want to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing this song.